This is The Drive.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to The Drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the up. The Drive.
His mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yeah.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Bunch of Sacramento Republic FC in the second round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup Wednesday. That's tomorrow, 7:30. Bonnie Field. Purchase tickets at Sac Republic. FC.com. If you can't get in, tune in. Pregame at 7 o'clock. Kickoff at 7:30. Myself and Jason Lockhart on the call right here in KHDK.
Do you know...
Glad you remember his name.
If you're a season ticket holder, is that all home games? Like, do you get the cup matches?
Get everything,
too?
Man. Okay. And in a lot of cases, they'll add games for you.
Well, okay, because that's what I was going to say. I know that like those cup matches are kind of determined.
Yeah. Sure.
As things go.
Absolutely. So, okay. No, it's a freaking great deal. I'm just saying that because I work for them. Seriously, you get a good value.
I've been there, so it is rad.
It is rad. Brian Geltzeiler of HoopsCritic.com, NBA Radio, is going to join us here in a second. Some history on your Sacramento Kings draft picks with the draft lottery tonight. They have picked over the last few years 6th, 8th, 7th, 5th, 7th, 5th, 4th.
I like how you say
5th. I have a goofy palate and a giant tongue, so I lisp. I just have that lispy thing going on. What do you want from me? I'm doing my best here. So make fun of my.
I was paying you a compliment.
Fun of my handicap. Willie Cauley-Stein, Nick Stauskas, Ben McLemore. They also got Ray McCallum in that draft. Thomas Robinson, Orlando. Who's Orlando Johnson?
That's what we were trying to figure out earlier.
Orlando Johnson,
number. He was a 30 sat. Why don't I remember him?
He was a gaucho.
Was he?
Yes.
Okay.
He went to Indiana. He started. Yeah, that's right.
He was a gaucho. Orlando. Yep. I completely forgot about him. Bismack Biyombo. Tyler Honeycutt at 35. Isaiah. Somebody. I don't remember this guy.
Hey, you
Isaiah
know what happens
Thomas
when you Google
60?
Orlando Johnson? No, I'm sorry. I used Yahoo search.
When you Yahoo him?
Here's your results here. We did not find results for Orlando Johnson.
Oh, really? That's Yahoo playing a game.
I mean, it has options there.
I think I remember it. Yeah.
But look, it very much says that.
Wow.
We did not find results for Orlando Johnson.
No wonder you don't remember.
Now add NBA and see if that changes.
Oh, I'm sure it will. I mean, it has a little blurb over here from a Wikipedia page.
Vincent Johnson was born March 11th of 1989. He's an American professional basketball player for the Austin Spurs. Of the NBA DL, he played college basketball for Loyola Marymount and UC Santa Barbara. He also went to Palma High School in Salinas, California. So there you go. That turned into an Orlando Johnson history. Isaiah Thomas, number 60. DeMarcus Cousins in 2010. How about this? When you look at just look at the draft picks. Omri Caspi at 23. I'm coming up now from 09. They got Tyreke Evans and Omri Caspi in 2009, 4 and 23. DeMarcus Cousins and Hassan Whiteside in 2010 at 5 and 33. Then they got Bismack Biyombo. Now, this is part of the Jimmer Fredette trade. But again, just look at the picks. Biyombo, Honeycutt, and Isaiah Thomas in 2011. Thomas Robinson, Orlando Johnson in 2012. Okay, that was a bust. Ben McLemore, Ray McCallum in 2013. Those were busts. Well, so far. Nick Stauskas in 2014. That was a bust.
Yeah.
And then Willie
Cauley-Stein
last year.
He got a hot sauce deal out of it.
He did.
That's about what his NBA career is going to give him, some hot sauce company or endorsement because of it was the why can't I think of it? The closed captioning.
Closed captioning.
Yeah.
They called him Sauce Castillo.
Yeah. That was
which
funny.
Sounds totally like Nick Stauskas. So here's my question. If you this is such a stupid question, but if you from 2009, that's 7 years of drafting. If you had to build a roster, if you just kept everyone and you had a roster that had Evans, Caspi, Whiteside, Cousins, Isaiah Thomas, Biyombo, let's say, Willie Cauley-Stein and Ben McLemore, and then you filled around that. Is that a playoff team?
That is not a bad team.
I'm seriously, though.
You know what? It's crazy. The picks have not been bad.
No.
It's what you've done with them after that.
Yeah, I mean, half the guys aren't with them anymore and are being successful, and half of those guys would have never been as successful as they are now if they had stayed. And I think you could even put Omri Caspi in that group, too, because his first time around with Sacramento was a mess. And, I mean, you know, granted, he was a young player, but
right.
I really feel like he had to go somewhere else to learn. When he came back, he was a finished product.
So does that speak more to the Kings' development of these players?
I think so, but I've been saying
years?
That for years. There's a reason that, and it's not even guys that they've drafted. J.J. Hickson was a decent player, so decent, in fact, that LeBron stood up for him as untradeable the first time around. The Kings got a hold of him. He forgot how to play for a year. Then they traded him away, and he remembered again. Same thing happened with Carl Landry, who, granted, Carl had some injury problems, too. But, you know, Carl Landry was a serviceable player everywhere but Sacramento.
You talk about the development and how you think that's been a weakness for the Kings organization over the year. I spoke to Vlade in L.A. this year, kind of towards the end of the season, and I was asking him, like, how do you feel about what Willie Cauley-Stein has been able to do towards the end of the season, and how do you feel about his development? And he's like, he's done a really good job. He goes, but the one thing that I really am focusing on for next year, he's like, I got to get some better player development guys in here. And then yesterday, Anthony Carter, who was one of the player development coaches, he was let go yesterday from the staff. So there's an argument that you have there. Maybe the player development has not been what it should be.
I've put it together.
Okay.
So if we're just taking players from 2009 and up that have been drafted, and you held on to every single one, here's what your team would look like, not counting anybody they acquired anyway else. Okay. Your starting lineup would be Isaiah Thomas and Tyreke Evans in your backcourt. You'd have Omri Caspi at the 3, DeMarcus at the 4, Hassan Whiteside at the 5, and off the bench, Willie Cauley-Stein, Bismack Biyombo, Ben McLemore, Nick Stauskas, and Ray McCallum. That's a playoff
team. If you only got to play 5 guys, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
I mean, the bench is kind of
the bench is a little.
You
weak.
Got Willie on there. You have Biyombo on there. That's not bad. You're
those
weak.
Are
in
bigs.
You're weak in the backcourt. Ben, Stauskas, and McCallum.
Which, guess what? Has been the weakness for this team some time.
But you're starting Isaiah and Tyreke with Caspi at the 3. Yes, 3. Shocking. 3-point shooting is going to be a little bit of an issue. Well, who knows? Maybe Stauskas develops. I still believe, and I know I get laughed out of the room every time I say this, I still believe in 3-4 years, Nick Stauskas is going to be a serviceable NBA 3-point shooter. He's not going to be who's the kid?
I'm leaving, Dave. I'm done for the day.
He's not going to be J.J. Redick. I'm not saying that.
I'm done for the day.
But I do think Nick Stauskas is going to have a 10-year NBA career. I really do. All right. You know what?
Just freaking crazy.
Why am I crazy?
Because he's Canadian.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to tell you why you're crazy. And this, in all fairness, how would you know this? Because I'm around the team a lot more than you are.
There she goes.
Stop being the woman and being.
I'm not.
Sensitive.
You also
let me be the woman.
You had
here.
Detroit beating the Cavs
with
your superior basketball knowledge. I'm just saying we don't know. I don't know.
First of all, shut up and let me tell you what I think before you tell me that I'm just an
I've been
idiot.
Around the team.
No, he has maybe the poorest work ethic of anybody I've seen come through
true.
That organization.
So
he's
did Hassan
not going
Whiteside.
To be a player.
So did Hassan Whiteside. He had a worse work ethic than Nick Stauskas. True or false?
I don't know. I wasn't here.
You know,
with
Hassan Whiteside's got that thing going on though, where he's seven feet tall and can jump out of the gym.
That's accurate. That's very true.
That helps. But
go ahead.
Seriously, Nick Stauskas. One of the things you can have skill to get you to the NBA, but it's what you do to develop it and how hard you work that is going to make or break you in this league. He broke himself already. Mm-hmm. He's on a team because he's still under his rookie contract. What is his career going to be afterwards? He's going to be selling hot sauce out of one of those little like booths at the supermarket.
I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star. I'm not saying he's going to be an all.
He's going to have a 10-year
career.
I
think he'll have a 10-year career.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, he's already what?
I wonder what Brian thinks about
it. He's already what? Let's see. He's already 3 years in.
He's going to be selling hot sauce out of a booth.
Why are you choosing this hill to die on?
Because I said what I thought was an innocuous comment, that I think Nick Stauskas in a couple years could be a, all I said was a serviceable NBA player, not even a starter.
Serviceable, meaning he's the one handing everyone water from behind the bench.
Did you know that he doubled his scoring average from last year?
Yes, because he played on a D-League team.
He's only 22.
Oh, gosh.
It's only 22, Katie.
Yes. It's only 22, Katie. People can change.
You know what? Maybe I'm completely wrong here. Maybe it's like my series pick that Boston or that Cleveland would be upset by Detroit. Yeah, maybe I don't know anything I'm talking about, Dave, and you know everything.
You're the one around the team, Ron Riley. Brian Geltzeiler is an NBA analyst, insider for NBA Radio, hoopscritic.com as well. You can check him out on the Twitter machine, @hoopscritic. Brian, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. We're all arguing. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
My pleasure, guys. Pleasure to be with you.
All I said, Brian, okay, was I think there's a chance.
No.
Okay, what did I say?
Brian, he said that Nick Stauskas is going to be a 10-year NBA guy.
I said I could see Nick Stauskas having a 10-year career in the NBA.
See, like going back on it now. Well, no, Brian, okay. What are your thoughts on Nick Stauskas?
Katie, I lean more towards your case, which is because, and I tell you, I thought he could be a very good NBA player coming out of college. The thing that's disappointed me in him is the lack of athleticism, and I think that's a problem in a league that's playing a lot more up tempo. And yes, he can shoot it, but because of his lack of ability to do other things on the floor, he was a good playmaker at Michigan. He certainly hasn't proven to be that at an NBA level. And his scoring average doubling, I don't think means anything either, because his usage was higher in Philly, because at Philly there was plenty of shots available.
Right.
So from that standpoint, I don't necessarily think that is a big indicator of him. The problem I have with Stauskas is he's a one-trick pony. If the shot's not falling, it doesn't help you anywhere else. And listen, a guy like Jimmer Fredette can shoot too. You guys saw what happened there in Sacramento, and he's flamed out of the league because there's nothing else he does well on the floor. Now, Stauskas is a better player than that.
Brian, I like you already.
Will have his moments that he could hold his own on the floor. Okay, but by the same token, there's going to have to be more there. And listen, at 22, there's things that will improve about his game still. Athleticism is not one of those things, and that's where my concern lies.
Whatever. What are the two of you know? You just do this for a living.
Yeah.
Screw it. Nate?
I just sit around and wait and pick the right side when it's all done.
You're the smartest one of the three. You don't say much. I like that.
Oh, Brian, let's put Nick Stauskas to bed, because who really cares about him?
You call him Sauce Castillo. It's so much easier.
It is. But I want to get into the playoff action with you. It's been a big – Dave is the only one in this room that picked OKC to win this series.
I've spent a lot of time around them, though.
I think that it's going to be an exciting series. But does last night's game at all change what you think will happen through the course of this series with the Thunder and the Warriors?
Oh, yes. I think it's going to be a much longer series than I thought. I originally thought Golden State – I thought we'd get close games, but I had a lot of faith in Golden State's ability to close games. And I felt as though Oklahoma City, they really made a living in that San Antonio series on the offensive glass.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's always a dangerous formula against Golden State because of how good they are in transition. But I Billy Donovan has coached just an unbelievable job here through the course of these playoffs, because even last night they were very committed to transition D, in the fact that you notice that when Cantor and Adams were on the floor, they were only the two guys on the offensive glass. At times it was even only Cantor. Durant and Westbrook were not really involved much on the offensive glass. They were running back in transition, Waiters back in transition, and they did a decent job in transition. Now listen, Golden State missed some looks in that fourth quarter they normally hit. By the same token, you hold the Golden State Warriors to 14 points in a quarter. I did not think that would happen this entire series.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good Oklahoma City defended. And I'll tell you, Russell Westbrook's taken a lot of heat from a lot of people of being a one-way player and not being a guy that's engaged all the time defensively. He was probably, short of Steven Adams, who's becoming one of the best defensive players in the league, Westbrook was a defensive star on that team last night. I don't care what that box score says. Westbrook was the single reason they won that game based upon the way he defended and how smart he was in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma City, if they're going to play big, they need to play slow, and that's counterintuitive for Westbrook. What Westbrook walked the ball up the floor that entire fourth quarter, limited Golden State's possessions. When you get open floor for Golden State, that's where they get space and they get their best looks. They didn't have any of those looks in the fourth quarter. So, listen, I am so impressed with the approach OKC has. Very interested to see how Steve Kerr counters. But Kerr made a huge mistake in that game that I just don't think you see him make again in the future. He started the fourth quarter with a small lineup with Spates as the big on the floor. You can't do that against this team. I don't think you can do it against most teams, but certainly not against this team. You're going to play small. You must have Draymond Green on the floor. You lose too much on a defensive end with Spates, and that's really when OKC took control of the basketball game.
Right.
Yeah, Brian, you kind of alluded to the fact there that Golden State didn't really respond well to Oklahoma City sticking with that big lineup. Do you think they were taken by surprise a little bit that Oklahoma City would kind of say, hey, we're dictating the terms tonight, fellas, see if you can beat us?
I don't know if the big lineup took them as surprise as the tempo took them as surprise. Mm-hmm. Going into the series, my big doubt, and I can imagine Steve Kerr felt the same way, is in a fast game, Golden State's going to beat them. Golden State's just a better fast team. And not to say OKC couldn't shoot it well and take a game, maybe even two in this series playing fast. But Oklahoma City's got a much better chance playing slow. Keep in mind, in that San Antonio series, they won playing San Antonio's game. They won playing slow basketball. I think what took them by surprise was the methodical fashion that they walked the ball up the floor in the fourth quarter. And Golden State didn't really know how to respond to that. It took them totally out of their transition game. And where earlier in the game, they were able to feed off some of the, first certainly in the first half, some of the mistakes, some of the turnovers. I mean, you get 10 first-half turnovers, and then OKC only turned it over once in the second half. Part of that's a product of playing slower. And I think that's where Golden State and Steve Kerr were totally taken aback. The other thing is this. Billy Donovan will try anything, but will go away from it quick and never go back to it if it doesn't work. He went small ball at the end of the first half, and they got run off the floor. There's just not enough spacing for OKC to be able to benefit from small ball with Andre Robertson on the floor. He just doesn't shoot it well enough. And really, Donovan's got no one else to go to as a perimeter player. So part of this with Billy Donovan is they're kind of going to play big this way, totally out of need, because they really, this is a way for Billy Donovan to get his best players on the floor, and is working out really well up till now.
Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com. You can check him out Twitter at HoopsCritic. I'll ask you the goofy impossible question I asked everybody else this morning. If you came into last night's game and you didn't know anything about the Warriors or the Thunder, you had been under a rock, let's say, for the last 2 years, and you didn't know about 73 wins or anything like that, and you just saw the Thunder beat the Warriors in Golden State, would you be coming away from that thinking the Thunder handled them and the Thunder are going to win the series? Is history factoring into that prediction?
I'm gonna with hesitancy say yes, but I'm also gonna go back to, if you had guessed the same question after Game One of the San Antonio OKC series, you wouldn't have thought OKC had a chance. So yes, I would think that if I knew nothing coming into the series, I would have told you that the two best players in the series are both on Oklahoma City. Even though they shot 16 of 50 between the two of them, okay, I would have felt as though that the size advantage was so far in OKC's favor, you know, a good rebound advantage, 52 to 44, and that OKC was the better defensive team. And the thing is, all year long, Golden State was the better defensive team. But here's something important to note. Golden State, it's, you know, towards the end of the season, and listen, they hunkered down a little bit to get the 73 win record, but in the Houston series, and more so in the Portland series, they got into some bad habits. You know, they switch a lot, so they can be a little shoddy occasionally with help defense. Against lesser competition, doesn't matter. At this level of competition, it matters a whole lot, guys. And that certainly was a big problem for them defensively last night. We know about the shot selection. You got to live with the shot selection a little bit because they're the best bad shooting team in the league. I mean, they'll take bad shots and they'll go in, so you do live a little bit with that. But here's what you can't live with: the turnovers. Steph Curry with 7 turnovers. Yeah. And I heard Steve Kerr say this at halftime of a game late in the, I'm sorry, in between quarters of a game late in the season, where he said his big worry with his team is they treat some of these games more like a show and less like a game. And I think that's the crux of the turnover problem. They go into showtime mode pretty quickly and enjoy the game, and that's great. It's wonderful, but doesn't always lend itself to the proper fundamental basketball. And I think when the competition gets tougher like it is now, that's something that could hurt you, and it really hurt them last night, specifically with Steph Curry.
Well, I think the interesting thing with this series is that it's at a time where, it as we've watched the playoffs progress, Oklahoma City is like suddenly coming into their own. You talk about walking the ball up the floor, and Billy Donovan and his coaching, I really think that we're seeing what Billy Donovan is made of. And that walking the ball up the floor in the fourth quarter, that has everything to do with coaching, because that goes against every instinct in Russell Westbrook's, you know, as a player, everything that he is as a player.
You're spot on, Katie. And the thing is, this isn't an immediate transformation for Billy Donovan with Westbrook. He's been building Russell up to this all year. Look at the year Russell's had. It's been a lot less shooting and a lot more passing. And granted, he has these moments. He certainly had a couple moments in the playoffs where he backslides a little bit into taking some bad shots. He did it in the San Antonio game, acknowledged it right after the game. But he's gotten Russell Westbrook to be a much less selfish player, more of a cerebral thinking player. So this has been gradual, and you're seeing really the fruits of Donovan's labor with Westbrook. And you got to credit Westbrook a ton, because when you have as good a year as he did last year, having a brand new coach, a guy that's never coached in a league before, coming in there, especially a guy you were angry with the hire because you weren't consulted, but the guy comes in and makes a case to you about how you have to change the way you play for the good of this team. Westbrook has bought in 100%, and you're looking at the results of that. So I give Donovan a mountain of credit for that, but I think Russell Westbrook sometimes gets a really bad rap as a guy that has not a great attitude. I think he's got a wonderful attitude, and I think he's been very receptive to the coaching he's been given from Donovan, and it's really impressive.
Brian Gildsiler, hoopscritic.com, joining us on KHTK. Let's take a trip back east here, Brian. Cleveland's been hot, man. They won their first 8 games of the playoffs. They're well-rested, but Toronto's battle-tested this year. How seriously should we be taking the Raptors against the Cavs?
Yeah, and it's just going to be so awful to say, guys. I don't think you should be taking them seriously at all. I mean, I think they played really sloppy in these two series. I think Casey's been slow to adjust to so much. He finally took him to Game 7 to adjust for the fact that Miami was playing small against him. And listen, it was a great adjustment, but where was it in Game 5? And I know they won the game, but they almost lost it because Miami crawled back in playing small. And the other thing is this. This is, you know, listen, it didn't help not to have Valanciunas in the Miami series, but it was kind of a wash because Whiteside was out. There's no wash here. They need Valanciunas very badly, because the thing about Cleveland, with the way Cleveland has morphed their game to play, which is a little bit faster and a lot more threes, it's going to be tough for Toronto to run with them. And their big threat slowing it down is Valanciunas inside. Without Valanciunas inside, their whole game is going to be the spread pick and roll with Lowry and DeRozan one-on-one off the dribble taking mid-ranges. As great as Cleveland has played, as well as they've shot the ball, I don't love the way they're playing as being a sustainable formula to win a title, but it certainly is good enough to beat this team. I'm just not all that impressed with them, and I know it's probably unfair because you start a series 0-0. But here's the other thing about the Cavs in this series with the Raptors. You know, they've been able to get by in two series, shooting a lot of threes. We haven't seen LeBron, short of the one shot against Atlanta, do this exert my will and take over the series thing, which we know is there, which we know he will do when it is necessary. And if you remember last year, I mean, guys, for lack of a better term, he left that Atlanta series last year with chunks of Damari Carroll in his stool. Still not 100% healthy. Okay? This is going to be, and I think Toronto will be lucky to get one in this series. And I'm not all that high in the Cavs, but I'm not sold on this Raptors team at all.
It's Brian Gildsiler. You can get him at Hoops Critic, hoopscritic.com. Great stuff, Brian. Appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Guys, always my pleasure. Hope to do it again soon. Take care.
All right, yeah. Take care. We have breaking news coming out of Major League Baseball right now. The Atlanta Braves are sitting at 9-28. That's good enough for the worst in all of baseball, and they are now looking for a new manager, or at least their old one. It's gone. Freddy Gonzalez fired.
On his way out.
See you later. Less than 40 games into the season.
That's early in baseball, isn't it? Is that like firing a head coach in the NBA in November?
You know what's scary?
It is a little bit, but Fred's been working towards this for the last couple of years.
It's also a quarter of the way through the season.
Wow.
Almost.
Oh my goodness.
That's scary. That is very scary.
Moving right along there, baseball.
37, you know, 40.
Moving right along with your 162 games.
That is pretty darn scary. All right.
Freddie, out of work.
So there's your breaking news out of baseball. We got a break. When we return, there's some numbers trickling out involving LeBron James's deal with Nike. And whatever you're thinking, think higher. And then we'll also tell you why, despite the loss at home, former NBAer Michael Thompson, his kid, had an amazing night last night. We haven't covered that yet. We'll do that next. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. I get back home at a quarter to four. What you doing? 8:36, time to drive safe. But if you're in an accident, hey, visit Gamboas.com for a free online estimate.
Free is always good.
Free is great. Better than cost. That's what my mom used to say.
I love getting things at cost.
Well, Mav Carter is in the news. Maverick Carter is LeBron James's longtime business manager, and he was sitting down with GQ. They were talking about LeBron's new lifetime deal with Nike.
Lifetime.
According to USA Today, worth more than $500 million, but the exact amounts have been fiercely guarded. In the transcript of the interview, Maverick Carter was asked how much the deal was for. He said, I can't say. The interviewer said, come on, Mav, can you ballpark it? Mav said, what are people saying? The guy said, Kanye West said $1 billion. So $1 billion. Maverick Carter smiled and pointed one finger skyward.
Wow.
Yikes.
More saying, than $1 billion.
Yeah, it's a fantastic deal. Nike feels great about the deal. That's the most important thing. As great as I feel, as great as LeBron feels, Nike feels fantastic about it. It's the largest deal in the history of the company. Their hope is he makes even more, and our hope is that as well, obviously.
I'm not sure if we've discussed this before, but no matter what that number is, it's not high enough. I mean, basically, LeBron James, the value that he's able to bring to a company like Nike, it's really difficult to put a dollar value on it.
I mean, I see that argument
with
Michael.
Why? Because their shoes are being made for $2 and they're selling them for $250?
He's a billion-dollar name. I mean,
sure.
They're a billion-dollar company.
I buy into that argument more when it comes to salaries in the NBA. Whatever a guy like LeBron James is making, it's not enough. I just wonder, is LeBron James anywhere near the value of a guy who hasn't played in a decade, Michael Jordan? I mean, without LeBron, let's say LeBron James was with Under Armour. Is Nike really going to suffer? Are they going to lose $1 billion? I don't know the answer. I'm not Darren Revelle.
Well, how much has Nike lost by not getting Steph Curry?
That's what they've lost $19.
Well, and is that why they're going, you know, so high with LeBron?
Because maybe they just don't want to deal with it.
If they had Steph Curry, would they do that? Would they pay him that kind of money?
I want a microphone deal or something. A brownie deal.
A brownie
deal. Give me a lifetime brownie deal. Doesn't even have to be $1 billion.
Maybe we can get you some kind of a microwave popcorn deal.
That's fine. Get a lifetime microwave popcorn deal. Make it $1 million.
Make it $1 million.
That's almost $1 billion less than what LeBron's getting for dumb shoes. I told you before the break, I said Michael Thompson's kid had a great game last night, despite the fact that the Warriors lost. Mm-hmm. He still had a phenomenal game, and here's my proof.
A fly ball to left center field. Trace Thompson has just hit it out. For Trace Thompson, his fifth home run of the year. The Dodgers pulled it within one. It is 4-3.
Okay, but I said he had a great game last night.
Here's a 1-2. Fly ball, left center field. It's on its way, and Trace Thompson continues his home run barrage. His second home run of the night.
How great is that? Michael Thompson, former number one pick in the draft, played with the Lakers, got himself a ring or two. And he's got one kid in the Western Conference Finals in Oakland, the other kid in L.A. hitting two dingers.
That's pretty amazing. You know what? I didn't know that.
Well, how many times do you think that, you know, Trace could go home and feel like he actually was the one his dad was more proud of?
Calls up Clay.
Yeah. 11 loser. For 25 and you take a loss at home in the playoffs? Chump. I just went yachts twice.
Yeah, yachts. Big, dumb loser. We have some audio from some news that happened yesterday. Let's get to it. But first, here's Greg Popovich on habitable planets.
NASA discovered all those habitable planets the other day. You guys know about that?
Yeah.
Like, what did they say? There were how many of them?
1,200, I think.
1,200 habitable planets.
Well, 1,200 new.
And then last night, somebody lost a basketball game. Come on. Get over yourself.
I agree.
Get over yourself.
I think the best part of that whole clip was that forced laugh from that lady.
It wasn't forced.
It sounded forced.
It was uncomfortable. It was her uncomfortable laugh. I'm familiar with that because I have a similar one.
Yeah.
Isn't the appropriate response? Yeah, and it was your team. Do you mind telling us about it?
Yeah, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, hey.
Hi.
I'll bet you that habitable planet would have more to say than you.
Exactly.
You have an uncomfortable laugh practiced? Does that break out?
It's not practice.
Know because it's the one you hear for 3 hours every morning.
Is it the one that pops out when like you're doing an interview on the sidelines and all of a sudden some 7-footer comes into your interview and just starts yammering about how someone will be in the league for a long, long time?
No.
Because I'd be uncomfortable.
That's not my uncomfortable laugh. My uncomfortable laugh is when I call my weenie dog a munchkin and then a little person walks behind me.
Yeah. That happened earlier in the show. Tiger Woods says he's not dead.
I get that asked a lot, whether, you know, it's great seeing you. I thought you were dead. I said, no, I'm right here in front of you. So people have written me off. I'm not that part. I'm not, you know, I'm not fertilizer.
Fertilizer.
More uncomfortable laughs. Tiger Woods making a...
Didn't he have an issue with his wife because he thought he was fertilizer?
Oh, he was fertilizing things.
No good?
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. The judges have rejected that.
His major championship
Send
record.
Back to the...
I think it's
I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought that was set up. This is Tiger responding to somebody asking him if he can still break Jack Nicklaus's major record.
His major championship record, I think it's certainly still attainable. I got him on the regular wins already, but the major one, yeah, that's certainly up there. Sam's record, I'd like to get as well. I'm number two on both lists, so it'd be nice to end up at one on both lists. That's a long way away because that's going to take time to get to that point. But hopefully that, you know, I can get out here and compete at that high level and maintain that level. I just need to get back to that.
I just have one question.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
When was the last time that Tiger actually made a cut in a tournament?
Was it the Masters?
I don't know the answer to that, but I know what the thing that he was doing. He tried to show that he could still swing a golf club.
Right.
And he swung from the drop area and took him 3 tries to get over the water.
Carl Anthony Towns won the Rookie of the Year yesterday. We'll hear from him. Also, my question for you is Carl Anthony Towns the best rookie in the last 2, 3, 4, 5? How long does it go back? Where would you compare him, and who is the last Rookie of the Year to be better than him? We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll try to answer that question. It's a Drive Sports 1140 KHDK. Watch the Sacramento Republic FC in the second round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup Wednesday. That's tomorrow, 7:30, Bonnie Field. Hey, purchase tickets at sacrepublicfc.com. And if you can't purchase the tickets, listen up, KHDK. We'll have the broadcast, myself and Jason Lockhart, starting at 7 o'clock. The top local markets for last night's Thunder Warriors telecast numbers are in, according to Turner Sports PR. San Francisco, no surprise, number one, 23.4. Oklahoma City at number two. Sacramento at number three.
Hey.
Wow.
Followed by Tulsa/Cleveland, which I understand. Well, now here's the thing. Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Cleveland, doing a little scouting, watching the game. So I get that. But right there, number three, right behind Oklahoma City, there's Sacramento.
I'm sure. I mean, it's definitely the proximity thing. But I'm sure that those are the numbers that the NBA is drooling over. Our top, what, four, five cities? Like, hey, great ratings, guys. We're killing San Francisco. Awesome, huge market. We're crushing it in Oklahoma City and Sacramento and Tulsa and Cleveland. Killing it.
Cleveland and the Cleveland Rocks.
Good job, Sacramento.
Nice job, Sac. All right, so Carl Anthony Towns won the old MVP. MVP, David.
What is the matter
with
you?
Time to bring in a relief host. I'm my arm's shot for the rest of the show. He won the Rookie of the Year.
Freddie Gonzalez is going to leave you in. That's why he's out of work.
Yeah, seriously. I'm going to join Freddie here in a second. Carl was very happy about the award. Said it's not an individual award, though.
This is not an award that is done by one person, but by a team and by an organization. So I want to thank the Timberwolves organization. I want to thank Flip Saunders. I know is here probably eating a piece of sheet cake and enjoying this moment.
And speaking of Flip Saunders, by the way, the Kia that each Rookie of the Year winner gets was donated on behalf of the former head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves that passed away earlier this year.
When I got the news that I won this award and I was getting a Kia, I think the biggest thing I could only think about was Debbie and Flip. And they're like my family. They're like a second family to me. I love seeing them every single day. It brings a smile to my face. And I just knew right away that I wanted to do something special for Flip, and I think that was the best way I could think of.
He seems like a really nice person.
I'm going to, spoiler alert here. My love for Karl Anthony Towns is just so ridiculous.
It's bordering on perverse.
It really, I love him so much at every level.
Would you marry him?
I almost, I want to NBA marry him. I do. I honestly do. Like, if you asked me if I had a choice between Karl Anthony Towns and the entire Kings roster, I'd have to think about it.
Wow.
Like, considering salary cap, draft picks, all that.
You mean you're going to put logic in there?
I am.
Okay.
But I'm saying if they said, we'll trade you Karl Anthony
Towns. Out of place, doesn't it?
I still probably wouldn't do it. But I'd maybe chew a ham sandwich or something think about it.
As a player, he is phenomenal. There's no doubt about it. And he might be one of the best. I'm sure we'll get into it recently in terms of rookies of the year.
Sure.
But I watched he was on ESPN mm-hmm. yesterday, and I watched the interview. And I'm like, you know what? I think he's also in running for winning the most uninteresting man.
I'm
fine with that. You know,
he's going after teenagers here.
No, oh, yeah.
It's boring.
And not in that way, Nate.
20
if
years
you just
old.
Joined the show.
Hey, what would we have gotten if you stuck a mic in 20-year-old Katie Christensen's face?
You know what? There's actually an interview you could probably see that was pretty, coming out of high school, that was pretty, solid.
Pretty good. You had all the best All-Star gamers.
Yeah. It was like one of those things where the entire All-Star game, the California All-Star game, they called me by Kaylee, and I didn't obviously know it until I won the MVP award, and they're interviewing me after the game, and they go, hey, Kaylee, and I was like, my name's Katie. It's pretty solid. Solid interview.
I'm looking for this on YouTube, and I'll do this off the air. But a couple of these are probably not you. There's some questionable videos on here that are not Katie Christensen. I can tell you that.
Are they
much.
Photoshopped?
They're yeah.
I mean, how creative are we getting here? Because I need to know what to search for.
I'll show you the monitor. Okay. Here's KRCR TV's Katie Christensen story from 2003.
KRCR, that's the Reading ABC affiliate.
Yeah. That's right. NorCal right there.
In the summer of 2003, KRCR TV's Mike Mangus and Royal Cortain follow the story of former Modoc High School player Katie Christensen. Oh, we'll have to get
that. That looks.
We'll have to get to these.
All kinds
Mike
of fun.
Mangus is probably
oh,
still
oh,
buying
my
up
goodness. Goodness. Yes. I want that high school interview. Karl Anthony Towns, by the way, as you said, 20 years old, played in all 82 games, shot 54% from the field, 81% from the free throw line, 18.3 points, 10.4 boards, 1.7 blocks. And just by all accounts, an awesome, awesome dude. Here's your Rookies of the Year. Tell me to stop when you've got somebody that you think was a better prospect or you would have taken right now, knowing their rookie year. Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns.
Wait, this is right after their rookie year?
Yeah, after their rookie year.
Okay,
you don't
you
know
told
it,
us
I
mean, to it's stop Towns. You.
Okay, so
stop
Andrew
yourself.
Wiggins. Michael Carter-Williams. Damian Lillard.
Oh, maybe.
I'd take Karl Anthony Towns. I would. Kyrie Irving. Blake Griffin.
We could talk about it.
That's a tough one. That's the first one that's given me real pause. Derek Rose.
Hold on. The only reason I'm going to stop you at Tyreek Evans is
25
because
and five.
After his rookie season, yes, he
now
was the
right.
next Oscar Robertson.
Yeah.
You're right. Derek Rose.
not after his rookie season, right? I don't really know.
This is where we get into tougher ones, because these guys you're all listing have just enough of a body of work to where it makes them really difficult to compare to a guy that just has one season under his belt. Because if Carl Anthony Towns retires tomorrow, he hasn't had as good of a career as Derrick Rose.
Kevin Durant.
You're right.
Kevin Durant?
No.
You'd still take Towns?
Taking Durant.
Yeah. Oh, you take Durant.
Stop right there. Kevin Durant.
Could make an argument Towns had a better rookie year.
Yeah.
Durant was 19. By the way, here's a mind blower for you. Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, both younger than Steph Curry.
What'd you say?
Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are both younger than Steph Curry.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's pretty crazy.
She knows.
That's what I said, Katie.
I'm sorry. I missed what you said because Jay had said we had 1 minute left in the show.
1 minute.
So I missed
and
what you said.
Now we have 30 seconds. 11th caller gets 2 tickets to the West Coast Invitational Craft Brewing Experience. That's your type of thing, Nate. Saturday, yeah. Miller Park, 1 to 5. Hey, purchase tickets. There's different beers, live music, great foods, over 120 different tastings. WestCoastInvitational.beer. And it's
and it
true.
Is.
It's dot beer.
It's dot beer. We looked it up yesterday. Pretty amazing.
It's no joke, man. All right, for Nate Goodyear. Our executive producer is Jay Johnson. Katie Christensen, our little munchkin. I'm Carmichael Dave. The lowdown is at noon. Home Run King Jim Rome is next.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow at 6 a.m. It's the home of the Kings. Sports 1140 KHDK.